Well, our text for this morning is a continuation in our series through Genesis. Genesis 49 and verses 8 through 12 will be the portion we'll be looking at for this morning. And we're continuing through Jacob's deathbed prophecies as well as blessings that he bestows upon his 12 sons, and we've covered three of them so far, and this morning we'll be looking at the prophecies given to Judah. But let's look to the Lord in prayer before we look to this text. Lord, we do pray that even as we sang earlier, to you shall endless praise be, and the prophecy given to Judah, Lord, was fulfilled through you and will be fulfilled through you as well, as we look forward to that day when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. So we just want to thank you for you being our King. Just want to thank you for you being our Savior and our Redeemer. So to you we render this portion of Scripture. To you we render this message. May you be pleased as you help me to divide the word rightly and to help each and every one of us to accept its truths and comply with it in our daily lives. We look forward to your Spirit working in our hearts even as we open this portion of Scripture. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen.
tongue because you'll be judged by your words. We need to control our tongue because we will be judged for what we say. We saw that that's what Jesus said, and James develops that here in verses 1 to 6. The chapter begins with a warning. It says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." So what appears that's going on is that there was this problem in the church that there were certain believers who wanted to be teachers, and perhaps there were many believers who wanted to be teachers. And so perhaps some were attracted by the influence and the status that teachers had in the congregation. Perhaps they saw it as a way to fuel their own desire for significance. Douglas Moose comments on this. The situation back then, he says, teachers were prominent in the life of the early church from the beginning. The office of teacher was roughly the equivalent of the rabbi in the Jewish community, which would have meant that a teacher in the early Jewish Christian church would have had considerable prestige. What was true back then still carries on today in the modern church. Teachers still have a place of prestige in the church, and rightly so. Right, we should honor and respect teachers, but sometimes we can put them on too high of a pedestal. We can place them in such a place of prestige and status that's not healthy. There's been a kind of a debate in the blogosphere recently about some of the celebrity-like status, the star-like status of some of the more better-known preachers of our day. And those teachers themselves may not be seeking that recognition, but sometimes people give that kind of recognition, and everyone else sees it, and some may be attracted to that kind of prestige and influence. The status appeals to our baser motives. And so James's warning about let not many of you become teachers is still relevant today. Not many should become teachers. It's not to say that those who are gifted and called by God should keep from teaching, but it's simply to underline the seriousness of the calling. Now, the reason that many should not become teachers is because they'll face a stricter judgment before God. And the reason they're going to face a stricter judgment before God is found in verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Obviously, the primary activity of a teacher is to use his mouth to speak, right? Obviously, the primary task of the teacher is to speak. If the teacher doesn't speak, nothing gets communicated, nothing gets taught. But James says, listen, the tongue is also the most difficult area of your life to keep from sin. There are many ways for us to sin. There are just many, many ways. But the sheer ease with which sin comes out of our mouth should cause us to pause before we speak. Listen to how the Bible describes the fallenness of man. It says, their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit, the poison of vipers is on their lips, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness, Romans chapter 3. Nothing shows our depravity more than our mouth. In fact, it's so hard to keep our mouth from sin, James says, that if we could control it, we would be able to control all the parts of our body. If we could control our tongue, we can control everything in our lives. We would be perfect. And so he's saying, listen, we who teach will face a greater danger of judgment because we're always using our mouths, and that's the hardest part to keep from sin. Now, some of you are sitting there and you're thinking, well, that has nothing to do with me because I have no desire whatsoever to be a teacher. I don't want to stand in front of people. I have absolutely no interest whatsoever in teaching. But James uses that instruction really as a jumping off point, as a starting point. And what he has to say applies to all of us. what he has to say is not just for teachers, but it's for every individual. It's just a starting point to remind all of us that we will be judged for our words, that all of us need to control our tongue. It may be a small part of our body, but it has a huge impact on our lives. And to drive that point home, James gives three illustrations to show the disproportionate influence and impact of the tongue and how much we're in danger of being judged for the words we speak. The first imagery compares the tongue to a horse's bit. Verse 3, now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Horses are strong.
Thank you.
Jesus' whole point is that, listen, if we have real faith, then we do have the Spirit to control our words. If our faith is real, then God is doing this work of changing us. And therefore, if our faith is real, if Christ is working in us, then we will repent. We will turn from the way that our tongue spews out evil and allow God to transform us, repent of our sins, and spew out words that encourage and build up. To the person who speaks praise to God in the worship service and then abuses people verbally at home or at work, James commands, purify your speech through the week. With the person who says, oh, I know I talk too much, and laughs it off, James is not amused. He insists, be quick to listen, slow to speak. By the person who boasts, I always speak my mind, no matter who gets hurt, James is not impressed. He commands, discipline your speaking. Of the person who says, I know I gossip,